Welcome to the Sarah and T Podcast. I'm Sarah Bradford.
And I'm Tim Cafferty. I own Outer Banks Blue and Sandbridge Blue, managing over 400 vacation rentals at the beach.
And I used to own Winter Park Lodging Company and Steamboat Lodging Company, managing over 150 vacation rentals in Colorado. But now I just fill my time with pickleball and podcasting.
Yeah, but you know more about this business than most people ever learn, so you're still stuck with me.
So for the next 30 minutes or so, we invite you to join us as we dig into topics, tips, and advice from our long history in this crazy business.
And we're going to have some fun while we do it.
We're back and better than ever. I'm Sarah.
And I'm Tim, coming to you live from the Outer Banks of North Carolina. And you're not anymore.
I just was there, though, everybody. I finally made it to the Outer Banks and spent 5 days with Tim and his lovely wife, Deb, who treated me to amazing food, both in the home and at restaurants. We played pickleball, and I may or may not have helped out with Tim's company retreat. So now I know his whole staff, and hopefully a few of them like me.
It was a great time. You did a fabulous job, and the staff is ready and motivated, as we are ready and motivated to go to VRMA International, Sarah. Our last podcast, we gave, I guess, our selections of the sessions that people should attend. And let's just say it generated a lot of buzz.
Yeah, we got a lot of feedback on this one. So clearly people are trying to figure out which Verma session they're going to. And also some people presenting felt like they got cut. They didn't make the short list. So we offered it up on social media and also on the podcast. Anybody that wanted to sell their session got a chance to do that. And that's what we're going to do today.
Can't wait. We've done a live call-in show before, but not like this. So if you're ready, I'm ready.
All right, let's go to our first caller here on Monday morning.
And our first caller is our good buddy, Ali Camaletti. And you have a session on Monday morning in a very popular time slot. We did not mean to slight you, ma'am, by selecting another one. But there are a couple of others who are going to be right behind you trying to pitch the same time frame. So tell us about your session coming up on Monday morning at 11:45 that you want to tell us about.
All right, Tim. No pressure. So this presentation is going to be more of a workshop setting, and this will be the first time that I am focusing on how we handle change in our organizations, and we're going to look specifically at implementing technology. Nadine Huck from Seabrook Hospitality will be joining me, and my goal is that each individual is able to take back to their company a strategy when doing implementations. We are going to use technology, but this is all kinds of change. And so we're going to focus on how do we bring the entire team into the fold when doing such changes so that they can feel really healthy and excited about the change to mitigate that storming that can often happen when we're implementing change. And then we're going to talk about how to look at a timeline for this implementation.
Sounds great. We all need to hear a little bit more about that. Ali, give us one takeaway from those who are not going to make it to Vegas.
There's so much. I mean, you really need to be there. But the takeaway is that it's important to look at your team and bring them into fold when you're implementing change. Maybe you've done all the research as the stakeholder, but they're not in that mix. And so they don't understand all of the whys and the dynamics behind it. And your team members, you just don't know what's going on with them. And not everybody's excited about change, not as excited as we get. And so just really understanding where people are coming from so that you can make that change positive in your organization.
All right. That works for me. And then I want to let you plug the second session you're doing, which is when it's called, which is it, empathy or compassion?
Correct. And that is at 2:00. And so some people may have attended this presentation before. It's not the first time I presented this. But what I'm really excited about with this presentation is I'm bringing in some recent techniques that have come to mind just over this last week when it comes to empathy. And there's different types of empathy and how we express that empathy. So taking it to the next level, and that is looking at emotional empathy, as well as compassionate empathy. And so it's not just saying, I'm really sorry that you've experienced this, but it's your tone. And then going to that compassionate empathy of talking about how you transition to helping them with that and how can I support you or giving options in those difficult conversations that you experience. Yeah, just probably a few times a day.
Fantastic. You did a great job. Again, you're at 11:45 with setting your team up for positive tech implementations. And then at 2 o'clock, which is it, empathy or compassion? So we'll look forward.
It's both.
Yes. Spoiler alert. It's both. All right, Allie. Looking forward to seeing you in Las Vegas.
As well. Have a great day.
Okay. Okay, Sarah, on to our next caller.
All right. Our second caller is also going to be presenting in that 2 p.m. Monday time slot that everybody seems to be presenting in. And that's John DeRolais from Wheelhouse. In case you haven't heard of Wheelhouse, it's a pricing platform that I know several people use. And John, welcome to the program. You'll be talking about how to build a revenue management strategy. Tell us about that.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. So I'm doing a session on how to build a revenue management strategy. So the first time I've done a session, I actually did it at the Data and Revenue Management Conference earlier this year, where it was really well received. Essentially, I have a lot of experience as a revenue manager. Before joining Wheelhouse, I ran a team of 10 data analysts for a company called Stay Alfred, managing their revenue. And we learned a lot about how to kind of like build and scale and approach revenue management at a conceptual level. And so what this session really is about is showing people how to think about revenue management, how to start documenting processes so that if they've got a big team, they can really scale that and get more specific and better. And for those who are new, it's also relevant because it kind of teaches you how to think about revenue management and how to start documenting stuff so that you can bring on that first revenue manager and really be up, set them up for success when you train them.
I happened to see you at the DARM conference and you crushed it there, as did Wheelhouse with your super fancy t-shirts. So give us one takeaway. If for some reason we can't be there at 2 o'clock, give us one takeaway that you're going to say you really are going to get this.
Yeah. I mean, I would say the big takeaway is you're really going to understand how to start documenting something that is really complex and for a lot of people really intuitive. And it's about taking these things that seem like magic and turning it into process. And if you're not, I know there's a lot of great sessions and a lot of people are at VRMA to learn stuff. So if you don't have an opportunity to come see the presentation, come stop by the Wheelhouse booth. We're happy to share the presentation with you and also have a conversation about revenue management. That's pretty much what we're here for, is to help people learn how to get better and better at it.
Sounds great, John. At one point I asked you how often you should have a revenue meeting at your company. And I believe you responded at least every 2 weeks to pull in the key players, and probably every week you should be having a small meeting, or at least one person should be reviewing the trends and all these processes and ways you can document what's going on. Still agree with that?
I do. I think you should have someone in the company looking at your revenue situation at least once a week. There's a number of ways to do that, either just by looking at kind of sales and BI tools or building your own kind of thing. And then, you know, particularly with small teams or even larger teams, meeting with those kind of departments that aren't directly revenue management but are related, marketing, distribution, your executive team, just to be able to inform people what's going on and talk about what we might see coming down the pipe is good to do on a 2 week to monthly basis at least.
Fantastic. We appreciate you taking time to sell your session, the title of our podcast here. And we can't wait to see you in Las Vegas, John. Safe travels.
Likewise. Look forward to seeing you guys.
All right, on to our next caller. Who do we have next, Tim?
Well, Sarah, we're getting back on track with Michelle Marquis. I need to be in Las Vegas in the lounge, don't I? We can't do that. We can't do that at 4:30 on Monday, though, because she's going to be there talking about OTAs. Can OTAs make or break your business? Michelle, you're up against some good competition at 4:30. Tell us why we should come see you.
It's true. Well, and, you know, 4:30 in the afternoon, you have to ask yourself, what did I do to make somebody mad? We talked real briefly that I have two sessions. I consider both the sessions kind of master classes, because in the OTA session, as far as can OTAs make or break your business, I've got Steve Milo, Dennis with Cassiola, Ryan with Gather Vacation Rentals, and Scott Bunce with Cabins for You. So I've got four of the best and brightest minds, especially as it comes to distribution. And, you know, each of them have such different markets as far as how much they rely on OTAs and where they rely on OTAs as far as for a billboard effect versus direct business. And tell people, hey, you guys, bring your notebook. This is going to be a really lively panel that I think everybody will love.
Hey, Michelle, if I can't make it because I'm not able to go to Vegas or I just get really stuck at the craps table, what do you think will be a key takeaway that will come out of this that someone will learn about whether OTAs are going to make or break their business?
Probably the number one takeaway is going to be around that OTA should be part of your overall distribution plan. So if you are of the mindset that says direct business, that's the only way to go, I think you're leaving money on the table. And I think all of these guys are going to talk about the importance of using OTAs to your benefit and tell you how to do that. So they will remain part of your and should be part of your distribution plan.
Sounds great. That's Michelle from Track, Head of Business Development. What's your title at Track?
Well, on a good day, I'm Chief Revenue Officer. And on a bad day, I don't handle anything important.
That's not true.
And don't forget the other session that's at 11:45 on the same day that's about direct bookings. I'm going to talk more about how do you get more eyeballs to your website. Once they're there, how do you convert them both online and offline, and kind of the things that you should be paying to the most when you're thinking about direct business. And there are some ways to get direct business from OTAs, but we're going to talk more about traditional marketing, some little secret, call it niche marketing, and then online, offline conversion. Julie Bird with Cabo Vacation Rentals, Alex with Casa Go now, Alex Huesner, and Marita Lancaster, which they were with Tybee and now part of eTrip. So great panel I've got there.
You do know how to get a panel together. So fantastic.
And I want to plug Michelle because Tim, I've known Michelle a lot longer than I've known you. Michelle used to secretly do my AdWords back in like 2008. When I would hide in the closet to talk to her to avoid my twins crying. So,
oh my gosh.
Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah, I do. I do. You're like, I'm in my closet. I'm hiding from my children.
Yes, I can remember it like it was yesterday. She used to be with Navis and always has intriguing presentations with lots of note-taking, like you said. And the last thing I wanted to ask you, Michelle, is you were on the VRMA. Is it called the presentation committee or the education committee of picking the presentations? Yeah. So comment a little bit on that. What are, do you have any that you really recommend we attend?
Well, you know, there is one that is in the middle of the day on Monday that is our property manager roundtables. And it means that there's going to be some very direct one-to-one conversations from leaders in the industry. And so that people can talk to their peers. Vendors are not invited to that. So I think that's going to be a great direct conversation. And anybody who's in the vacation rental industry will learn from the heavy hitters. Like some of the people that are on my panels are also in those sessions. So great session to attend.
Wonder why we didn't recommend that one, Sarah.
Oh, maybe we're presenting right then.
At the same time. That is a great session. No, you're absolutely right. And hats off to you and everybody who served on that group, because I know it was very difficult choosing.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it is. There's a lot of opportunities and a lot of sessions, and we should share with people that if they're good at what they do, the conference committee wants more and more property managers to be included in the sessions, because we get lots of sessions from vendors that want to talk about what they do and their expertise. But we really want to hear from property managers. So anybody out there, a little plug, we'd love to get some more property managers pitching what they do.
Okay. Look forward to seeing you in Las Vegas as we have just a few days between now and then.
Okay, great. I look forward to it. Thanks so much.
Bye. Bye, Michelle. Our next caller's on, and it's one you probably know, Jeremy Gall from Breezeway. And Jeremy has been around our industry for a long time as well. He started FlipKey, who eventually sold to TripAdvisor long ago, Tim. So Jeremy, welcome, and tell us about your Monday 4:30 session, pick a winner, navigating the process for choosing back of the house software.
Yes, thanks, Sarah. Thanks, Tim. Happy to be here. We'll be presenting with a panel of property managers. A few mystery guests will be joining us, talking about the importance of how you navigate operational software to help with, you know, back of the house optimization and service to your guests.
All right. So if I am not able to make it to Las Vegas, or heaven forbid, I am detained unexpectedly at the slot machines, is there a takeaway that you're going to tell us that people will have if they come to this session?
Yeah, of course. I think, hopefully you make it and you are not detained. Okay. But more and more, property management is such a service business. We've been seeing this for years, convergence with hotels, higher quality experiences. It's about service and about hospitality. And I think a good takeaway is people take a look at your business, understand what's important, what kind of brand do you want to have, how do you want that brand to be felt by your guests, what kind of service do you want to be delivering to them and to your owners, and then where are you sort of on the spectrum of optimizing that? Do you feel really good about it? I think the takeaway is, like, how do you look at your business to then think about the importance of how you're going to navigate this big piece? You know, operations is a really big piece of the business. And we spend a lot of time on marketing. We spend a lot of time on dynamic pricing, sort of optimizing the top line part of the business. Really important to look at the bottom line operational side of the business as well.
Hey, and Jeremy, we have listeners that have big companies that have been doing this for years and years. And then we have some brand newbies out there. When I hear back of the house, I roll my eyes a little bit and think, what's that mean? So give us an example of how software for back of the house, what does it do?
Yeah, it's a great question. This is really, think about it every time you're touching the property. So front of the house is reservations, channel management, marketing. Back of the house is every time you're going to touch that property. So how do you coordinate preventative maintenance and safety? How do you manage your turnover process? How do you adapt that turnover process for your busiest, hellish back-to-back days where all of your properties are turning over at the same time? And then how do you make quick changes based on staff and et cetera, you know, on smaller days, and that flexibility? So back of the house is cleaning, maintenance, inspection, guest services. You're going out there. It's really the front line.
All right. Well described. Thank you so much, Jeremy. We'll see you in Sin City.
Yeah, I'll see you in Sin City.
One of the thought leaders in our business. Appreciate it, Jeremy. And we're going to go to another thought leader, I think, who's right down the hall from him. Somebody named Oki is next.
Oh, love it. Thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah. Appreciate you.
I think we're going right down the hallway from Jeremy's office to Corinne's office. And she's got a session Tuesday morning at 11:30, guest communications, best practices to increase revenue and boost the guest experience. Welcome, Corinne.
Hi, thanks. Thanks for having me.
So why should we go to your session?
Well, it's going to be an incredible session. We've got a great panel of folks who are going to be lending their expertise. I'm going to be joined by April Burns from IC&D, Lance Stitcher from Seaside Vacations, Annie Schnabel from Lake Tahoe Accommodations, and Amanda Campbell from Cinnamon Shore. So we've got a really diverse group of folks who are going to share, what they're doing in their businesses for that guest communication throughout the entire guest experience. So we're going to talk about what are the best channels at the right times during the guest stay. So whether that's pre-booking, right before they arrive, while they're there, when they leave, what are the best ways to communicate with them? And where are they getting the information so that you can really drive more of a conversation and ensure that you're impacting that guest experience. And we're going to talk about everything in between. So we're going to talk about how you can use your guest communication to drive additional revenue for the business, how you can utilize the way that you communicate with your guests when there are emergency situations and fires or storms or whatever the case. And this is going to be a really incredible session for people who are really looking to take what they're doing today and that communication path to the next level.
Sounds awesome. I've been on a panel, I believe, with Corinne, and she doesn't just like kind of throw a panel together. She prepares them and she for sure makes them have takeaways. So what's one thing you know they're preparing to talk about?
We had our prep call last week to walk through what we're going to be covering, and everybody is actually working on specific examples of what they're doing in their business. And I think what we're going to see is between the different markets, we've got beach markets, we've got mountain markets, we've got, you know, April with IC&D, who's talking a lot about the pre-guest journey before they're actually booking. Everybody's coming in with specific instances of what they're doing, and we're going to look at how those differ across market. But the other thing that we're going to be really digging into, Annie had a really unique experience last year with the fires that hit Lake Tahoe, about how they use the communications with guests to make it easier on themselves and on their teams so that they could focus on what mattered. And so anybody who's in those types of markets, we're going to be covering how do you show that you care while also showing that, you know, you've got other priorities in the moment. And I think that's a really hard thing, because as hospitality providers, we're accustomed to actually, you know, making sure that everyone feels heard right in that moment. And sometimes we've just got to take what's best for our business and ourselves and our team at that point and handle it that way. So she's going to be sharing exactly how they handled that, which I think will be really insightful for anybody who's in any of those types of destinations.
Okay, you've sold me. Boy, this is really tough. This is so many good things to go to. And we cannot wait to see you in Las Vegas.
Tuesday at 11:30, you can see Corinne and all of her panelists. So we'll see you there, Corinne. Thanks so much for being on the program.
Thank you so much for having me.
And on to our next caller, which is Tyann Marsink. And Tyann is calling in today from Miami. That's not where she's from. She works with TouchStay as the queen of guest experience and also has a vacation rental company in Branson, Missouri. Tyann from Miami today, though, Monday at 11:45, 1 week from today, she'll be talking about channeling Brian Fontana from Anchorman. Tell us about that, Tyann.
Thanks, Sarah and Tim. Of course, as we all know in Anchorman, they say 60% of the time it works every time. So what we're going to talk about, channeling Brian and his quote to 90% of the time it works every time. And what we're talking about is text messaging and the whole entire guest communication flow. So we're going to have some rockstar property managers up on the panel to talk about how they do their guest communication flows and what an amazing difference it makes. And then we'll also have my friends at Rubaroo and us at TouchStay to talk about how we help these property managers as well. It is going to be absolutely incredible, because the point is not the actual software you use. It's Rubaroo and TouchStay up there, but we want you guys and everybody in the audience to know how important guest communication is.
I am just racing with this title. It's so creative. You win an award for that, if nothing else. And I just can't help but think of like pork chop sideburns and leisure suits and polyester. Is any of that going to be involved in the session?
Well, you know, I'm gonna go to the thrift store, the thrift shop right before, and I'm going to look for a leisure suit just for you, Tim.
Thank you. Okay.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
All right. So give us one takeaway, though. I know you're so prepped and you want to put a lot of stuff out there, but if somebody can't make it to Las Vegas, we've asked everybody the same sort of question, or maybe they're unable to make your session. What are they going to miss that they're going to regret?
Ooh, they're going to miss the secret sauce of Andy Morris with Seattle Vacation Home, Andrew McGill with Natural Retreat, and Matthew Tesdale with Family Vacation Rentals, exactly how they communicate with guests and how they get those 5-star rating reviews and loyal fans.
That's a good one. Tyann, always a pleasure to talk with you. And I cannot wait to see you, because Tyann is doing a session with me, which we've already plugged, Swag Sisters, on Wednesday. One of my favorite people who's given me one of my favorite gifts. We'll talk about that on Wednesday. So see you soon, Tyann.
All right. Thanks. We'll see you soon.
And now our next caller in from Arizona is Ryan Dame. And he is from...
Hey, guys.
Oh, hey, Ryan. Ryan's from Casa Go. We've already recommended one of your sessions, Ryan, which is the creative title of 928 New Properties in 2022, an All-Star VRM panel reveals their inventory growth secrets. But we wanted to give you another chance. So you've called in about your session on Wednesday at 9 a.m., which competes with mine, but not everybody can fit into the Schwag Sisters. So if you can't fit into mine, we want to hear why Ryan thinks you should go to compete nationally, win locally. What's that all about?
You know, so the session is pretty much revolving around a lesson that I learned when I was a kid. And that lesson, I grew up on a farm in Idaho, and the lesson I learned was, the reason I learned the lesson is because I was dating a girl, and it was my first high school love, and the only way I got to spend time with her, because we lived out in Potato Town in Idaho, was to go work on her dad's farm for a summer. So doing that, I got exposed to how farmers do business and the idea of co-ops. And, you know, one of the things that I took away from that as a kid, as we were filling up gas at this co-op gas station with the other farmers, and it wasn't the Chevron, it wasn't the Shell gas station. And as I started asking Mr. Barrett, you know, why are we filling up here? He said, you know, it's really simple. The farmers, we kind of buy gas in bulk, and we do it with our seed and our fertilizer and all of these really cool things. And it kind of dawned on me, not only are they buying what they were doing at a discount and buying it in bulk and having some scale to it, when they were going to sell their potatoes to the potato buyers that were taking it to McDonald's and all the other French fry users, that they actually got a higher price for what they were selling. So instead of selling, you know, 100 acres of potatoes, these buyers would come in and buy 10,000 acres worth of produce from these farmers. And so the idea of co-oping is something that has really kind of been with me since I was a kid. And years ago, when I actually merged my company with Steve's, which is now Casa Go, we've utilized, you know, some of those scaling techniques in this industry. So what I've done is put together a presentation that really revolves around scale and the difference between growth and scale. I think in this industry, we always focus on growth, how many properties we're bringing on, you know, and the fact that we are quote unquote growing. But in fact, there's a difference on, you know, growth and scale. Neither of them are bad, but our industry is definitely going through a scaling time right now. I think if we look at the PE groups, I mean, there's a reason why they're buying multiple operators across the country. And that really has to do with scale. Scale, the difference between growth and scale is, you know, growth is I go from $1 million in sales and I make $100,000 in profit to $2 million in sales and $200,000 in profit. That's growth. Scale really kind of reflects, like, how do I get from doing $1 million and $100,000 in profit to $2 million and $250,000 in profit? And that really comes back to scaling some of the things that we do as managers and operators. So my presentation is going to be really revolved around some of the tools that we utilize at Casa Go and that the industry is using. I think even Vacasa, the V word now, that they're publicly traded, it's been really fun to kind of dissect their financials. As bad of a rap as they get, I think there's some things that they actually do really well. And back office scaling, some of the things that they do in the back office, for example, reservations, marketing, accounting, are probably some of the strengths of Vacasa. So in the presentation, we're going to, you know, kind of break some of those things down, some of those opportunities that we have as managers to scale our business, to increase our profit, to earn a sustainable and respectable above market profit, regardless of the market that we're in.
Well, is it awkward if I don't go to my session and I go to that one?
Wow.
You know, they would miss you too much.
Wow. That's a lot though. You do have to make me a promise, Orion. You are not going to talk that fast the next morning after the closing party, because my head can't take it. I know you're trying to sell your session. And I also wonder, is there going to be pictures of the high school girlfriend in the presentation anywhere?
You know, shout out to Cynthia Barrett. Maybe I can find our old prom pictures.
Okay. Yeah, I challenge you to do that. Wake those people up. They're going to be barely alive that morning. So you're going to have to take it to the next level.
Oh, he's got the energy.
I love it. Well, I love it.
Obviously, you do. You're passionate about it. And there's no question everybody's going to get a lot of takeaways. So they come to your session, and that'll be Wednesday morning. There are sessions on Wednesday morning, folks. It's not over on Tuesday night. And that's going to be right at 9 o'clock. So look forward to it, Ryan. Can't wait to see you.
Hey, appreciate it, guys. Thanks for the time.
Thanks, Ryan. Bye. See you soon.
Bye, guys.
You know, Tim, I really like how he explained the difference of growth and scale. We've never at least talked about that on the podcast exactly. So we'll have to come back to that someday.
Hi, you've reached Steve Trover with Better Talent. Please leave your message and I'll get back to you as soon as possible. If you'd like, you can send me a text, and that's typically a faster way to get me, but feel free to leave a message as well. Thanks.
Okay, Tim, we tried to call Steve, but he's on a boat. He wanted to tell us that his presentation on EOS, Entrepreneurial Operating Systems for Vacation Rentals, is going to rock it out of the park. So, Steve, thank you for writing in and asking to be on the show, and I hope you're having fun on that island.
Yeah. Scaling your business with EOS. Okay. I'm writing it down, and that is, again, Monday at 2 o'clock. There is a lot going on. Monday at 11:45, Monday at 2 o'clock. Got some hard decisions to make. And that's it. We've given you all the intel now. It's up to you to do what you will with it. And we look forward to seeing all of our callers, all of our friends, and all of you at the VRMA International Caesars Palace on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of next week.
And no one can say we didn't give them a chance to sell their session. So thanks everybody that called in. That was super fun. And I'll see you Sunday night, Tim.
See ya. So long, everybody.
Bye-bye.